Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. Today, we're going to talk about the omega-3 fatty acids helping if you have lupus, an autoimmune condition. Also, from Roswell Park Cancer Institute, scientists discovered how wasabi kills cancer cells. So for those of you who enjoy that very spicy treat from Japan, it could be helping prevent cancer. Also, we have a research from Singapore showing green tea counteracts overeating effect of a high-fat diet. And we're going to look at Louisiana State University's Health Science Division says there's new information on cancer and sugar-sweetened beverages. That's important. And also how calcium-rich fermented foods are ideal for bone and heart health, and more on health and healing. From our environmental segment today, things are so bad out there that I thought that we would give you an update on what's going on with water and our land, our soil, and the air. And we're going to share some insights from Dar Jamel from Truthout. Scientists sound alarm on climate, but the U.S. still toys with skepticism. It does more than toy with it. It's doing nothing about it. So we will give you that. Also, a short piece from Chris Hedges from Truthdig, The Empire Strikes Back. A longer piece from John W. Whitehead from Counterpunch, Uncomfortable Truths You Won't Hear from the Presidential Candidates. I have a message for millennials and others about what you're not going to hear in any of the discussions, but we need to hear. We need to hear something different. I'll explain what that is, that difference. Also today, a conversation, a brief one, with a scientist who's been using the cannabinoids to help with cancer. Thought it was important to go beyond what the studies show to hearing from a person who's actually in the front lines of this research. Then we're going to hear from a former CIA intelligence officer and what her lesson is from all the years she was in the CIA that could help us today. And also, we need to think about who really votes. What is their level of knowledge and insight? How have they made themselves better educated involving politics? So we're going to take you to on the streets into an affluent neighborhood and just stop people and ask them about Hillary Clinton. Thought you'll find it interesting. So we have all that today. Let's begin. We know we should be having the omega-3 fatty acids. Three reasons right off. A, it helps you if you have depression. B, it's very good for your brain. And C, it's very good for your heart. Can help protect you with the good fatty acids we need. For example, as a vegan, I can take a handful of walnuts. I can eat an avocado. I can have some flaxseed or flaxseed oil. And I can get my omega-3 fatty acids and the important DHA fraction. Or, if I'm the average person, I'll just take some fish oil. Also very good. No matter how you get it, here's one more reason to have it. This is from a Michigan State University researchers. They found that consuming the omega-3 fatty acids, especially the DHA fraction, stops a known trigger for lupus and other autoimmune disorders. So that's important. So get your DHA and help yourself. If you're going to help yourself with lupus, you'll probably also be able to help yourself with arthritis as well. Now, there's a little snack. It's from organically grown soybeans, and it has wasabi on it. Now, wasabi is a kind of mustard, and it's made from a root, and it's very tasty. Now, it's also in the cruciferous family, and anything in the cruciferous family helps prevent cancer in the body. But most people only use it because of how it gives it a real tang to whatever you're eating. So if you like wasabi, according to Roswell Park Cancer Institute, that can help prevent and inhibit cancer cell growth, specifically cancer of the bladder. And that's because of its high ITCs, that's isothiocyanates. And those are contents that you also found in broccoli, by the way, and very high in broccoli sprouts. And, of course, you can get this in other ways as well, but why not just have it? Because wasabi also is good for digestion and good for your blood pressure. So the wasabi, rich in these isothiocyanates, causes cell death in cancer cells. And by the way, this is not the first study to show that the isothiocyanates content is able to reverse cancer. This was published in Oxford Journal, and the isothiocyanates are an organic compound, and they strongly inhibit the development and progression of cancer. So the more of these cruciferous you have, the better off your health. Green tea is one of those things that comes also that most people don't consume. People who are into health do. People are aware of why a iced tea made out of the green tea is better than a regular iced tea or a hot tea as well. This is from the Agency of Science and Technology and Research in Singapore. This was published in Molecular Nutrition and Food Research. If you consume green tea, you're getting a compound. It's called EGCG, and that can help stop daytime overeating brought on by a high-fat diet. And that can help protect you from obesity, from being overweight, and from diabetes, prediabetes or diabetes. That could also help protect you in turn from high blood pressure, heart attacks, and stroke. I would suggest between 200 to 600 milligrams a day. Now, let's say you can't drink that much tea, and you certainly want to make sure it's decaffeinated. Then simply get some green tea tablets, 200 milligrams, and take two or three a day. From Louisiana State University Health Sciences, published in Translational Cancer Research, they found how sugar-sweetened beverages, and that's what most people consume when they're having a beverage, can cause cancer. Quote, a study conducted by researchers at LSU Health New Orleans suggests that age is an important factor in the association between cancer and sugar-sweetened beverages and recommends that intervention programs to reduce consumption of added sugar be focused on lower socioeconomic status, young males, as well as cervical cancer survivors. And sugar intake or sugar-sweetened beverage consumption has been demonstrated to have a positive association with obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular metabolic disorders, and some types of cancer. By the way, when they say positive association, that doesn't mean it's good for you. It means it is linked to that. So when you have a sugar-laden beverage, you're more likely to have certain cancers, heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. Quote, the objective of this study was closely evaluate the risk factors of sugar consumption from sugar-sweetened beverages among cancer survivors and people not diagnosed with cancer. And to our knowledge, no other studies have examined sugar-sweetened beverages intake in cancer survivors. This is according to the person. And, quote, recently growing evidence suggests a link between sugar-sweetened beverage consumption and the risk of pancreatic and endometrial cancer, as well as the risk of colon cancer reoccurrence and death among cancer survivors. Wow. So, just an aside. For many years, the major industries back in the 1960s and 70s would go forth and challenge anyone who wrote or said anything that was adverse to their product. Now, they had already done a horrific job attacking Rachel Carson for her seminal book, Silent Spring, where she pointed out that DDT, the most commonly used pesticide at the time, was causing adverse health effects, where eagle eggs were not hatching and fish populations was affected, etc. And it took us over a decade before we got public attention. And then came the sugar issue. And so nobody would go out there and argue with him. So I was asked, would I go out there and debate on behalf of the consumers? And I was, at that point, a senior editor with Caveat Emptor, Consumer Beware magazine. And we have all those old articles published up online. We found them in our archives, and boy, you read them today, and something I wrote in 1972 is just as relevant today as it was then. In any case, I remember debating people from the meat industry, from the dairy industry, the sugar industry, the soft drinks, the artificial sweeteners, and there was still science at that time proving these were dangerous, but they had such power and such control over the media that little of it changed. And in one lecture, it was on Bob Kane's show on NBC National Radio, I debated the head of an institute that took a lot of money from the sugar industry and sugar product users. And all, there's no association, and you just want to deprive us of our enjoyable food. And I had study after study showing a link between heart disease, cancer, etc. Now, that was in 1974. Now, think 74 to 84, 94, 204, 214, 42 years, 43 years ago. And now we're just finding out, officially. Now it's, everyone will, you know, publish this. Now it's not a secret. Now the industry can't suppress this. Will it cause people to lessen the consumption? No. People are going to lessen consumption. Generally, we'll stop it altogether and go to something very healthy, like juices. In the last 5 years, we have seen thousands of these little juice stores opening up all across America, where people go in and get a smoothie or juice, wheatgrass, and they're educated. They want to be healthy. They don't want that old product. But they are a small number, probably less than 3% of the American population. That means the majority are still going to be having sugar, even though the evidence is there, you could be putting yourself at risk of cancer and diabetes and heart disease. And finally, this is from Open Heart Journal, and it says, calcium should come from healthy sources like fermented foods, green leafy vegetables, according to review, to receive an adequate intake while supporting bone and heart health. And the findings have also echoed in Europe with studies identifying dietary calcium intake, the low of 300 and 600 higher in men and women. And the review also found that milk and dairy products, the most readily available source of calcium, that were preferred by the general public. Well, here's my concern. Cow's milk, yes, has a lot of calcium, but doesn't have a lot of magnesium, boron, that are necessary to absorb that calcium in a way that helps your bones. In fact, the five leading nations that consume the most calcium, including the United States and England, have the highest levels of osteoporosis and thinning of the bones in the world. And those cultures that have a lot of seaweed have low osteoporosis. Those that don't have any calcium, let's say you're using it from dairy, but get their calcium from kale and sesame and other sources, don't have the problem statistically with osteoporosis. So if you're going to use dairy, and like a kefir or yogurt, in addition to that, have other calcium-rich foods, or take a supplement like calcium citrate of about, I'd say, 1,000 milligrams a day, and that'll help. The milk, you're going to have an awful lot of problems, not the least of which are allergens that can make a difference. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Thank you. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming live in our studios in New York City, and you can watch this program by going to Ustream channel and searching for Gary Knoll. And I have a major investigative original report coming up about who's behind all of the pro-vaccine, the pro-GMO, the pro, let's say, pesticide industries. And it's a first. You have not read or heard it before. It's taken us 2 years of investigation on this, but we've nailed it. And I'll be posting this and presenting it in the next few days. Also, if you want to listen to this program live, Monday to Friday, anywhere in North America or Canada, let me give you the number to call, 641-793-7091, 641-793-7091. And if you want to go to the archives, because you missed it, so let's say you missed last night's Progressive Commentary Hour on Syria, with people who've been to Syria, spoken with the Syrian people, have a completely different perspective. You can archive that over any listening device just by dialing this number for the archive, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. I'm going to share some commentaries now, shorter, a little longer, ones of my own, also Chris Hedges and others, and I'm directing this to those who believe that what you hear on television with the ideologues, the talking head experts, that they're right, objective, and balanced, and they have your interests at stake. I hold a different opinion, as does Chris Hedges, when he says that a decade ago, left-wing governments, defying Washington and global corporations, took power in Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Venezuela, Uruguay, Bolivia, and Ecuador. It seemed as if the tide in Latin America was turning. Now, the interference by Washington and exploitation by international corporations might finally be defeated. And that's what we all hope, by the way. And yet none of this has been discussed in any of these presidential debates or even discussed in the major media. The interference by Washington and exploitation by international corporations were behind all this. And then what you had is you had, for the first time, Latin America had a majority of charismatic leaders like Hugo Chavez in Venezuela or Inácio da Silva in Brazil or Evo Morales in Bolivia or Rafael Correa in Ecuador. They won by huge margins. They instituted socialist, populist reforms that benefited the poor and the working class. They refused to be puppets of the United States. They took control of their nation's own resources and destinies. They mounted the first successful revolt against neoliberalism and corporate domination. It was a revolt many in the United States hoped to emulate here. But today, the movements and governments in Latin America have fallen prey to the dark forces of U.S. imperialism and the wrath of corporate power. The tricks long practiced by Washington and his corporate allies have returned. The black propaganda, the manipulation of the media, the bribery, the corruption of politicians, the generals, the police, the labor leaders, and the journalists, the legislative coup d'etat, the economic strangulation, the discrediting of democratically elected leaders, the criminalization of the left, and the use of death squads to silence and disappear those fighting on behalf of the poor. It is an old, dirty game. President Carrera, who earned the wrath of Washington for granting political asylum to Julian Assange 4 years ago and for closing U.S. Manta military airbase 2009, warned recently that a new version of Operation Condor is underway in Latin America. For those of you who are not aware of it and didn't see the movie with Faye Dunaway and Robert Redford, Operation Condor was real, and it was operated in the 1970s and 80s. Thousands upon tens of thousands of labor, union organizers, community leaders, students, activists, politicians, diplomats, religious leaders, journalists, and artists were tortured, or assassinated, or disappeared. In fact, in one case, they would take dissidents intellectuals, arrest them, take them to a military base, put them on a helicopter, shackle them, take them up, take them over the ocean, and throw them out into the ocean. So no one knows how many thousands of people are, their corpses are resting on the floor of the ocean, still in their chains, by regimes that we supported and their officers trained at the School of the Americas, all done under the supervision of the CIA, and much of this done under the supervision or awareness of Henry Kissinger, someone that is a darling of the left right now, and Hillary Clinton. So the intelligence chiefs from right-wing regimes in Argentina and Bolivia and Chile and Paraguay and Uruguay and later Brazil have overseen the campaigns of terror. They receive funding from the United States and logistical support and training from the Central Intelligence Agency. Press freedom, union organizing, all forms of artistic dissent and political opposition were abolished. In a coordinated effort, these regimes brutally dismembered radical and leftist movements across Latin America. Just in Argentina alone, they disappeared over 30,000 people. You must assume those are all dead. And only today are a handful of these individuals being brought to trial on crimes against humanity, like Pinochet, and found guilty. Only a handful. But no one from the United States has been brought to justice yet. Now, that rings for a lot of people. How is that possible? Well, it's possible when good people don't pay attention to bad things being done. I was thinking the other day when I was writing my commentaries that we have what I call intentional neglect, where we use this in our lives. If you knew that using a cell phone with cobalt from the Congo, that where people don't have helmets, don't have proper tools, don't have any safety in the mines at all, thousands are injured, many killed, and they're paid almost nothing. And yet the end product, there's a massive amount of profit. If you were to see a film of how your convenience items were created, a laptop, a flat screen TV, a new car, and how much exploitation went into it, women working in Bangladesh for 14 cents an hour, and you saw this, every place you went to purchase an item, you saw it. Even with McDonald's, you saw the rainforest being destroyed, you saw how the animals were treated. Would you still be inclined to purchase the item because you wanted it? Would you be connected? And I'm saying that we have right now the majority of Americans are engaged in intentional neglect. They're not stupid, but they're neglectful to do their work, to do the research, to become aware. And it's what the father of Gestalt psychology, Fritz Perl, said, a fear of knowing is a fear of doing. So what you don't know, you don't have to feel bad about, because I didn't know. I remember my parents not wanting to know that cigarette smoking was bad because everyone smoked 2 to 3 packs a day. Or that eating the diet they were eating was bad. They didn't want to know because they weren't going to change. So if you're not inclined to change personally, then you're going to dismiss global warming. You're going to dismiss corruption in Wall Street. You're going to dismiss the militarization of the police. You're going to dismiss all this because you personally are not going to do a thing about it. Even people listening to this radio show, you would think that after all these years, and many of them listening a long time, that they would have made judgments that many of the things that were not healthy, they should change. Come to a health retreat. Come to a health support group and see how people, oh, I've been listening 30 years. What have you learned? What have you changed? Well, no, I didn't change anything, but I've been listening. So we play games of deception all the time on ourselves. So despite the dire state of our nation, you can rest assured that none, this is my personal opinion, as well as John Whitehead's, none, not a single problem we face today, not one can you name, not one, not global warming, not the corruption and control of Wall Street, not the Federal Reserve, none of these, not our medical industrial complex, our energy industrial complex, our military industrial complex, none of these are going to change, not a millimeter. and hence they will continue to undermine our freedoms, our health. There will be no credible way of anyone making a difference, because everyone who is selected and then is selected because they will not change the status quo. Remember, no one is going to be brought into a position of power in America if they jeopardize the standing of the unions, the corporations, or the moneyed elite. But I believe in the interest of progressive ideals and the truth to share a few uncomfortable truths, especially with the millennials, about life in the American police state. Now, I've done multiple programs on how we are now and have been a police state. We are a totalitarian regime. We assume we have freedoms, but then test those and see how much freedom you're actually allowed. For example, you believe the government is your friend? I do not. Nor does the government believe that we, the people, are their friends. Our so-called government representatives do not actually represent us, the citizenry. We are now ruled by an oligarchical elite of government and corporate interest whose main interest is in perpetuating power and control. Republicans and Democrats like to act as if there's a huge difference between them in their policies. However, they are partners in crime, united in a common goal, which is to maintain the status quo. Presidential elections, which we engage in, are not exercised in self-government or democracy. They are merely business forums for selecting the next CEO of the United States of America, Inc. No matter which candidate wins this election, the police state will continue to grow. In other words, we the people will lose. If you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for evil. 20 years ago, a newspaper headline asked the question, "What's the difference between a politician and a psychopath?" The answer then and now remains the same: none. There is virtually no difference between psychopaths and most politicians. Americans only think they're choosing the next president. In truth, however, they're engaging in illusions of participatory democracy, culminating in the reassurance ritual of voting. It's all a game. It's an illusion. It's just another manufactured illusion conjured up in order to keep the population compliant and convinced that their vote counts and that they still have some influence over the political process. You do not have any influence over the political process. None. More than terrorism, more than domestic extremism, more than gun violence, more than organized crime, the United States government has become a greater menace to our life, liberty, and the property of its citizens than any of the so-called dangers from which the government claims to protect us. And if you think that somehow this is Kent State and you're one of the students and you're going to go up and put a flower in the barrel of a rifle and that guardsman won't shoot you, well, they did then, and they would be only too happy to, and you wouldn't even get it within range for them to have a flower stuck in their rifle. You don't have compassionate people who are out there. They're conditioned. They've accepted the rewards to be able to be immune from prosecution for following orders. The government knows exactly which buttons to push in order to manipulate the populace and gain the public's cooperation and compliance. And they have the entire media empire, including MSNBC and many programs on Pacifica, in alignment with them. Fear, which now permeates the populace, can only lead to fascism. If voting made any difference, do you think they would really allow you to do it? That's what George Orwell felt. America's shadow government, which is comprised of unelected government bureaucrats, technocrats, corporations, contractors, paper pushers, and button pushers, who are actually calling the shots behind the scenes right now, and operates beyond the reach of the Constitution with no real accountability to the citizenry, is the real reason why we, the people, have no control over our government. People woke up today and all the newspapers talked about how Yahoo has been allowing every single email, every single user to be sent over to the National Security Agency. Did you know that? Now, if Yahoo did it, bet every other server is doing the same thing. I've said many times, there is no such thing as a private communication in the United States. Every email, every photo, every conversation is captured, analyzed, logged, and this is all illegal. The government does not want you to have the freedom to challenge it. Hence, it can do what it wants. You no longer have to be poor, black, Latino, or guilty to be treated like a criminal in America. All that is required is that you belong to a suspect class, that is, the citizenry of the American police state. As a de facto member of this so-called criminal class, every American citizen is now guilty until you can prove your innocence. And if you doubt me, why don't you speak with Chris Hedges about the power of the National Defense Authorization Act? The President of the United States and his agents can arrest, detain, without charge, without trial, indefinitely, or assassinate, if they choose to, any human being on the planet with no repercussions. But who was reading the laws? Not members of Congress when this was passed. Whether instigated by the government or the citizens, violence will only lead to more violence. And there are those who believe that they can wage and win an armed revolt against the American police state. You're delusional. You'd be wiped out almost immediately because they already know you. They know everything about you. They know if you belong to a liberty group, a freedom group, a justice group, an environmental group, an activist group, a no more war group, organic food group. They know everyone, and all that is just allowing them to know who to go after if there's ever a problem. We, the people, are no longer shielded by any law. Our Supreme Court are a bunch of buffoons and idiots. They're an embarrassment to anything representing jurisprudence, both left and right. And while the First Amendment gives you a voice, you might as well be that one voice in a Siberian forest. Because if you speak the truth and no one is there to witness it, then how do we know you spoke or that it was true? So they're muzzling us. The Fourth Amendment, which protects us from being bullied, badgered, beaten, broken, and spied on by government agents, is also being disemboweled. Government eyes are watching everything. They see your every move. Every computer, go to the top of your computer right now and run your forefinger very gently across the top of your computer, where the frame of it. You'll feel a little tiny indentation. That's a camera. That's a camera they didn't tell you was there. That camera is watching everything you do. It can turn itself on and off, and it's recording your audio. Now, the same thing with your cell phone. You can turn your cell phone on, off. They can turn it on. When you're in your car, they can hear everything you're doing. They can control if they chose to. They could speed you up or put the brakes on. They could kill the engine. Or they could allow it to go full blast so you couldn't stop the car. That's how much control they have. You think, well, why would they want to see me in my bedroom when I'm laying in bed watching a movie? They want to see everything you do. They want to see if you represent in any comment, conversation, or action anything they perceive could be a threat to the profits of corporate America or to the policies and power of any governmental agency. By gradually whittling away at our freedoms, our free speech, our freedom assembly, our freedom of due process, our freedom of privacy, the government has, in effect, liberated itself from its contractual agreement to respect our constitutional rights while resetting the calendar back to a time when we had no Bill of Rights to protect us from the long arm of government. Private property means nothing if the government can take your house, your car, or money under the flimsiest of pretexts. In the last year, they took billions, not millions, billions of dollars without charging a single person, without giving a ticket, a fine, nothing. It's all asset forfeiture. And in some states that I'm asking people to boycott, like Oklahoma, they have a little machine that can take every single penny out of your bank accounts. And then you have to go back and say, my money was not ill-gotten. I wasn't involved in drugs. They took cars. They took people's businesses and homes. The U.S. government, especially the state police, are engaged in more criminal activity than the U.S. organized crime in a given year. So when did you hear a word about this in any of the presidential debates or any other debate or anywhere else in the media? Likewise, private property means little at a time when SWAT teams and government agents can invade your home, break down your door, kill your dog, wound or kill you, damage your furnishings, terrorize your family with complete immunity. Of course, if we had a camera and saw them taking their anabolic steroids and pumping 14 hours to get a big arm and then get their bulletproof vests and their shields and before they raided the house, we might have a better perspective of who these people are. You might as well have a robot invading your house. There's no thought process. There's no empathetic process. If there is an absolute maxim by which the federal government seems to operate, it is that the American taxpayer always gets ripped off. Parents no longer have final say over whether their kids are taught in which schools and what curriculum, how they are disciplined, or what kinds of medical care they need. If your kid has cancer and you don't want to give them cancer, you want to give them something else, an alternative therapy that has been shown to work, you can have your kid taken away and you charged as a negligent parent, even a dangerous parent. If you don't want to give your kids a vaccination that has never been proven safe or effective, you could then be shown to be a bad parent and your kid not allowed in that school. From the moment your kid is born to the time they legally come of age, young people are now wards of the state. All you need to do is, in order to be flagged as a suspicious character, labeled as an enemy of the state and locked up like a dangerous criminal, is use certain trigger words, surf the internet, communicate using a cell phone, drive a car, stay in a hotel, purchase materials at a hardware store, take flying or boating lessons, appear suspicious, or question any authority at any level, or question corporate America's policies, question GMOs, question vaccine safety. Now you're a threat to the United States. Americans are powerless in the face of militarized police. So despite the revelations of the past several years, nothing has changed to push back against the American police state. Our freedoms, especially the Fourth Amendment, continue to be choked out by a prevailing view among government bureaucrats that they have the right to search, seize, strip, scan, spy on, probe, pat down, taser, and arrest any individual at any time for any reason. Forced cavity searches, forced colon searches, forced blood draws, forced breath alcohol tests, forced DNA extractions, forced eye scans, forced inclusion in biometric databases. That's just the beginning. Well, we all bleed red, and we all suffer when violence becomes the government's calling card. And right now, the only credit the government has is those programs that did not engage in actual violence. But look at the ones that do. Look at all the corporations and all the individuals working for those corporations that are part of the military-industrial complex or that exploit nature and destroy nature, which then has a negative loop back to us, such as coal and oil and nuclear and gas hydrofracking. And look at the consequences and who amongst those people are being held accountable. How about no one? But not to fear, because if Hillary Clinton's elected, her electorate knows the importance of the Bill of Rights, and that would be there to protect us, to help us, right? Well, let's talk with some of Hillary's supporters, Richard Democrats, who are going to vote for Hillary, about our Bill of Rights.
Hillary Clinton has announced her plan to help repeal the Bill of Rights for the New World Order and progress America and help with the government. We just need a few more signatures to support the plan. Just print birthdate signature to support Hillary's plan to repeal the Bill of Rights. Hillary is the right person to...
She's going to lead us. We're going to go in the right direction.
She's in the right direction, repealing the Bill of Rights, starting off her campaign. And I think it's about time that we support someone who wants to do...
What specific parts is she going to...
Well, just to sort of compact them down and modernize them and... I really appreciate
get them up to date. Now.
Get them up to date.
Hey, I'm with you, brother.
Appreciate your support. Hillary appreciates your support, too. Hey, Hillary needs your help. She has a new proposal to repeal the Bill of Rights just to help out with the campaign and the democracy. We just need a quick birthdate signature, print birthdate signature. As you probably saw, one of Hillary's primary campaign promises is to repeal the Bill of Rights, but we still need a few more signatures from the citizens to show support for her plan, so I appreciate you supporting that.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
What you don't hear is that every single person that approached signed and agreed. We got to repeal this Bill of Rights. Of course, that's many of the people voting for her. So you have to ask. If people don't know the power and importance of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, then look how easy it is to do whatever you want to an unsuspecting and a functionally illiterate public on the issues of the Constitution. And when it came to Hillary Clinton standing up and saying Donald Trump was wrong, he got all these tax breaks, so he hadn't paid income tax. Well, in a moment, I'm going to play you a clip of how the Clintons donated money. They paid about $1 million in taxes. Good. That means that money they paid went to support education, went for infrastructure, went for Pell Grants, right? That's what she claimed about Trump. Well, in a moment, we're going to show you where the Clintons' tax money went. But until then, when you're talking about Trump not paying taxes because he had a $1 billion loss and therefore had what is called a loss carryforward, which would go against his upcoming profits, why didn't you criticize Bank of America that is holding $17 billion in tax dodge money offshore? Or Citibank. You've lectured at Citibank. You made $500,000 at Citibank lecturing. $42 billion parked offshore. ExxonMobil, $43 billion. FedEx, $6 billion. And they didn't pay a dime in taxes, by the way. And General Electric got $29 billion in tax subsidies over 11 years. So not only did General Electric, which was involved with Clinton, not pay taxes, they got rebates of almost $30 billion. Merck also pocketed $8.7 billion in taxpayer-funded contracts. And what about Microsoft? $60 billion stashed offshore, not paying tax on it. Pfizer, and that's just some. In fact, wasn't it the European Union that just found that Apple owed $16 billion in taxes they hadn't paid? But didn't Apple support the Clinton Foundation? I believe it did. And when you take a look at how many corporations are not paying taxes, it's the majority of them. Let me give you a couple examples. For example, United Continental, the merged airline, pre-tax profit, $4.2 billion. Did they pay that? No, they got $3.1 billion in tax write-offs. American Airlines, pre-tax profit, $4.6 billion. Income tax, no, they got a credit of $2.9 billion. General Motors, pre-tax profit, $7.7 billion profit, but they actually got a deduction of $1.8 billion. Hewlett-Packard, $1.4 billion pre-tax profit, but they got a write-off of $1.1 billion. E-Trade, $177 million. Verizon, $535 million, and yet they had a pre-tax profit of $19 billion. And then there's JCPenney, Lear Corporation, Caesars Palace, Vornado Realty, Microchip Technologies, Crown Castle, Lowe's, PG&E, Xerox, News Corporation, which is Murdoch's First Solar, and Weinhauser. And those are just some of the top 25 corporations that got negative minus taxes into the tens of millions or billions. So why don't you add all their names along with Trump? But here's the problem. Trump didn't make a profit. He lost big. Bad investments? Yes, lost big. But these companies made big, and they still paid no taxes. Here's the reality. The tax code is so complicated that corporations that make a profit want to take their profits away, not give them for the government. And this is almost all corporations. And hence, when you talk about how much money are we not getting in taxes, a minimum of $800 billion a year? Well, if you were getting $800 billion a year over a 10-year period, now you're into serious money. You're into trillions of dollars that could help repair infrastructure, help with all our needs, inner city needs and educational needs, health needs. But all these corporations will take the maximum allowed or pay no taxes or even get credits in return. and then look at how many of these major corporations have paid either Bill or Hillary Clinton for lecture fees, or in the case of Wall Street, their foundation money and gave them lecture fees, and yet we gave these people trillions of dollars. Citigroup, $2.3 trillion. Morgan Stanley, I believe we gave $1.1 trillion. Bank of America, all told over $4 trillion just to Wall Street to bail them out. And yet these people are experts at avoiding taxes. So what's the solution? So if you're going to condemn Trump, rightly so, condemn every corporation that is not paying their taxes. The answer is simple. You completely scrap all tax codes. You fire everyone at the IRS, tell them to actually go get a job. You close down the Federal Reserve. You bring your interest rate down to zero. You have only the Treasury print money. You then cancel the debt that we owe the banks because it was not properly done, nor was it properly earned. Then you go about having one flat income, one flat corporate tax that no one can deduct anything. They can't hide the money offshore, and there's no more tax havens. You give an amnesty, 20% they pay on all money, about $33 trillion offshore, and then you bring another $1 trillion a year into the American public, into the bank account of the American system. That's the only way meaningfully to do it, to have change that works. I'm Gary Noll. Time for Talk Back, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Back in a moment with your comments, your thoughts, your insights on anything I've just discussed. We're going to go to a clip on how Clintons did with their money, their tax money. Good. I'm sure that we're going to hear that they put it into what she said, new roads and schools. We'll hear that in a moment. But first, I've got a special for you today, cruciferous stuff. Now, this is raw, all natural, and it's quite simply one of the most important powders I make. And just to clear something up, let's say that I offer green stuff and greens and grains, red stuff and berry blast. Why? Why would you have two greens and two reds? It's simple. And here's what a lot of companies do. They'll give you tiny little infinitesimal amounts, 1, 2, 3 milligrams of a nutrient, but then they're allowed to make a label claim. Oh, we have pomegranate, we have wheatgrass, we have all that in there. But is it enough to actually do something in the body? My opinion, no. These things, in my opinion, wouldn't keep a cockroach alive. But if you really want to have a food be functional, if you want a nutrient that has industrial strength action in your body, you have to give that amount. So if you look at the hundreds, even thousands of milligrams for certain nutrients in my powders, those are what I want to see happen in a person's body. I want to see that you have the right amount of chlorella, the right amount of spirulina, the right amount of apple or blueberry, high dosages, enough to be compatible with the goals that you're trying to achieve. Now, could I put it all in one product? Sure. And you would know. But I would know. And my goal is to create the most powerful, beneficial, most wonderful nutritional products available. And that's why I have each one does something different. For example, the cruciferous stuff is not the same as green stuff or greens and grains. Those are different. They have different products. This one I created because I wanted all the cruciferous vegetables. Now, I can tell you why you should take this, but that would be making a claim. But I leave it to your intelligence to go up on the internet and then Google things like broccoli and broccoli sprouts and kale and spinach and watercress and parsley and collard greens and turnip greens and turmeric and all the other things that are in here. And then suddenly it's like a light going, oh, now I see why I should take that. Because this is so unique and does something so special. It's vegan, it's gluten-free, it's non-GMO, and you're getting all these wonderful cruciferous vegetables. And to make, because cruciferous vegetables are very bitter, so I put raw cacao powder in here, which itself is a phenomenal ingredient, and with apple pectin and stevia, and now you got something that's just terrific. So cruciferous stuff, it's on sale. It's regularly $80. Today it's $51.99. Here's the number to call to get it. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. I believe that everyone should have, every person who cares about their health, one scoop of cruciferous vegetable powder each morning in your smoothie. And I put all kinds of, I must put 11 different powders in my smoothie each day. 877-627-5065 for cruciferous stuff. It stands alone. And finally, something brand new, just today. We've just finished putting this all together. This is a 7-hour CD set, and it is the deconstructing the lies and cover-ups behind 9/11. 15 years ago, 4 American jetliners were hijacked by 19 Arab men and used as a human missiles against U.S. targets. And everything that came after that was a consequence of their actions. But I brought together the best experts in the world, Danny Sheehan, Barbara Honecker, Dr. Professor James Fetzer, Graham McQueen, Richard Gage, Dr. Scott Bennett, Dr. Robert David Steele, Dave Chandler, Les Jamieson, all these people who have brand new insights, new technology, research, the best of the best, to show you why the official version of 9/11 is not true. And they explain why it's not true, and they deconstruct it forensically. It took over a year to put this together because we had to verify everything that they were going to say. You see, there's a lot of stuff out there on 9/11, but a lot of it's nonsense. In fact, it is my opinion that a lot of agent provocateurs have infiltrated the 9/11 movement with the intent of discrediting it by saying stupid things that, and then if you say something stupid like, well, it was just a hologram, there were no real planes that flew into the building, that's nonsense. I was there. I remember going down the highway and saying, I was running down the highway doing my jog. I just returned that morning from Florida, and I'd never gone south. I always went north of George Washington Bridge, and I heard this plane. I said, whoa, that's way too low. And that was one of the planes hit the building. So this is about the truth. So if you care about 9/11, if you care about all the lies we've been told and why and who was behind them, these lies, what would have been their motives? These are the experts who deconstruct the lies and cover-ups behind 9/11. Now, normally it's $120. Today it is $59. Call the same number again and to get this brand new just today. 7 hours, 7 CD set, deconstructing the lies and cover-ups behind 9/11. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Now, let's hear about how Bill and Hillary made America better by the taxes they paid, and so they really stand head and shoulders above Donald Trump.
Bill and Hillary Clinton just released their 2015 tax returns, and they present what I would call a teachable moment. In 2015, the Clintons wrote off $1,042,000 in charitable contributions. Of that, $1 million went to none other than the Clinton Family Foundation, where they get to control the flow of the money. So in 2015, 96% of the Clintons' charity went to themselves. The rest of their charitable donations from that year went to an establishment named the Desert Classic Charities. That same year, that same charity made a $700,000 donation back to the Clintons. So the Clintons donated to it, and then it donated to the Clintons. And what did they both get for it? Tax deductions. And more importantly, control of where all that money flowed. The year before, in 2014, the Clintons donated $3 million to their foundation. After themselves, the charity that received the most of the Clintons' charity was the Diplomacy Center Foundation, a charity whose board includes Henry Kissinger, Condoleezza Rice, Madeleine Albright, James Baker, Colin Powell, and, oh yeah, Hillary Clinton. So in 2014, the Clintons got a huge tax deduction for donating to themselves again, and they and their friends kept control of the millions. So that's how money flows from the Clintons back to themselves and their friends. To complete the circle, let's look at how the money flows to the Clintons.
Just understand, so nothing that the Clintons did allowed us to build new schools, clean up ghettos, provide a safer world. But it's good when you're in a debate and knowing that your opponent is functionally illiterate to hammer away, but there's also the backstory. I'm Gary Noll. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day.
Why he treats you like he do, and he's such a good man. He's got